And finally, as we continue our Lenten journey towards the great Easter feast, let's listen to a reflection on this 40-day season of penance from Benedictine abbot Timothy Wright. He suggests that in all our practice of prayer and penance, it's the attitude of our hearts that is really important.
When we think of our Lenten asceticism, most of us will think of saying more prayers, and perhaps even of taking on ascetical exercises. There is a danger, as well as a virtue, in undertaking such things as more prayer and asceticism. And the danger, of course, is that we become quite triumphalistic about it, because we can do the extra prayer and we fit it in quite easily, and the asceticism makes us feel good because we're at least sharing in our little bit of the cross. I don't want to suggest that that is not a true understanding of what is happening, but I do want to suggest that in the big picture, such efforts have got to challenge something much deeper than our feeling of comfort. Indeed, any feeling of comfort should really be balanced by a recognition of our need for repentance. Now, repentance is something that we can all do as a formula. We can, "Oh, sorry, I forgot this and I do apologize." And we put on the emotional lather and the effect in order to try and convince the person that we really mean it. And probably 5 paces further on or 20 minutes later, we've forgotten all about it. That doesn't mean to say the repentance wasn't genuine, but there is always a danger that repentance becomes a matter of what we did or failed to do. "Sorry, darling, failed to collect the cabbage for you for today's supper." Or, "Sorry, darling, failed to get the oil for the heater." Actions. But behind actions, there lies an attitude. And both in our prayer and in our ascetical exercise and in our recognition of our sinfulness, it is the attitude that really matters. Why do I pray? And why do I pray a little bit more during Lent? There's only one reason for praying, and that is to get closer to God, and hopefully for God to get even closer to me. Let me add straight away that the problem on God's side is tiny compared to the problem on our side, because we are very good at forgetting God. We're very good at living as if God was an extra which appeared at times of need. And so Lent as a time to repent forgetfulness of God. Now that is an asceticism. To remember each moment of the day that God is alive in that moment, whether it's a good moment or a bad moment. And that you can talk to God in that moment. "Oh Lord, you've not landed this on me again, have you? Oh Lord, I've got her to put up with. Oh Lord, that husband of mine, he is an awful fellow. What have I done to deserve him?" Etc., etc. And of course, that conversational, informal chat at one level is superficial, perhaps not necessarily truthful at the deepest level, but it allows a relationship, and it is the relationship that is all important. And it is a relationship that is at the very heart of what our faith is about. Faith without that relationship with God is empty. It's just superficial posturing. And therefore, Lent is a time to address that relationship. And the first element in that relationship is for us to recognize that far too often, for far too long, we forget God. And the only way to counteract forgetting God is to remember him. And to remember God means to see God in the neighbor, to see God in the situation where I'm working, where I'm living, where my home is, to see God alive there, not just as an intellectual exercise, but as the way I treat people, the way I serve people, the way I provide for people. And it can be very difficult, because we don't always get on with everyone as we would like to, all the time. There are arguments, good, thumping, great arguments, differences of opinion, slammings of doors. There are adolescent misbehavior all the time. We've all had to cope with it. But we don't always see God in the middle of it. We don't always see that our anger and God's tolerance may be part of a mystery of a relationship which is growing, or maybe also a sign of a relationship which is disintegrating. So there is a sense in which we have to bring our faith in God into the present moment, remembering God alive in that present moment, remembering that our reactions, positive or negative, can include God, can exclude God. And therefore the asceticism lies in deliberately saying, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, whether I'm in the bath, in the bed, in the sitting room, watching the television, whether embracing my loved one, whether giving a hug to my children, there is God alive. And that is prayer. That is the presence of God. And that is where God wants to be. And if that is going on in our homes, and if it's something we can develop as a regular practice during Lent, then we realize that saying prayers is simply the moment of concentrated recognition of the presence of God. It's not the sudden arrival at the presence of God. It is a really way of saying, thank you, God, for being present. Thank you, God, for looking after us. Thank you, God, for giving me that very difficult time. It's acknowledging that our experience, good or bad, is always in the presence of God. But to put God into the center like that is difficult. It's difficult because emotionally sometimes we don't think God wants to be there, or we don't want God to be there. Or sometimes we think that if God was there, he would be very critical. The reality is that God loves us as we are. He loves our explosive outbursts. He loves our moods of questioning. He loves our moments of joy. He loves our moments of love. He loves our experience of union, whether with spouses, whether with our children, whether with our friends. In other words, love and God and the deepest, deepest needs of our being are one. But we have to not just say that in words, we've got to live it. And it is difficult to go on living it. But it is a valid asceticism for Lent, and it is an asceticism which makes us understand why we need to repent. Not because we're guilty in a narrow sense of the word, but because in forgetting God, we are cutting out something of vital importance in our life, and a gift that is on offer. And all we need to do is to say, sorry, I must try better next time. And in that way, the asceticism, the difficulty, the failure is all transformed, because with God in the midst, there is no such thing as failure. There are plenty of rows, plenty of anger, but there's no such thing as failure, because God is alongside us, encouraging us and understanding us, and most of all, affirming us, because we still are in God's love at that moment. And that is why Christ became a human being. That is why he suffered death on the cross, to make us realize that every part of our human life is related to that experience that Christ had, and now is related to the presence of the risen Christ within each of us, believer or non-believer, because we wouldn't exist without God creating us. And that profound truth is what we need to remember during Lent. Amen.
Thanks there to our regular guest, Benedictine Abbot Timothy Wright.